Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, and we are in-house together. Despite the fact that we are under semi-quarantine, we are maintaining a safe distance. And
probably not an announcement I would have made, but
okay. Well, whatever. You're here. We're at a safe distance. Steve showed up with a surprise for me, so thanks, man. It's my birthday in a couple weeks, and Steve brought me a bottle of Booker's, my favorite bourbon. So very much appreciated.
Yep.
So we can actually talk just straight old politics for a little bit, because a big event happened this week. Bernie formally dropped out of the presidential race.
I think most people thought that this was going to come sooner or later. Mixed feelings about it. I'm not a big Bernie fan, but I...
You're less of a Biden fan?
I am less of a Biden fan. I've said it multiple times on the show. I've said it on Twitter and social media and in just in conversation. I don't like Biden as a candidate. And so, you know, just looking at his history, his track record, he talked an okay game. I think even his, talking has gotten, questionable. I'm not a fan. This is what we're stuck with now. Ohio's primaries got pushed back, and, as much as I'm not a Bernie fan, because I just don't like Bernie as a person, I think a lot of his leadership team around him is toxic, is probably the best way to describe them. No matter, you call them that and they get very defensive and then they literally attack you, and it's just like, you're kind of proving my point. And they stand on the idea of, Bernie wants Medicare for all. And everybody should want that. And if you don't want that, then you want people to die and you're a murderer and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And my thing is I can't say I was ever against Medicare for all, but I just didn't see a good path to get there. And I still don't see what that path is, but I do believe that it's something that now we need to look at and explore. And again, you have 6 million people that just lost their job which means that they just lost their health insurance. On April 1st, and if it's not April 1st, then it'll be May 1st. So you have a number of people that, now not only are they out of work, but now a lot of the decisions they make in regards to their health are really going to come down to, how much is it going to cost? Can we afford it? Can we foot the bill? If little Timmy needs stitches, you go into the hospital, or you're just going to tape it up, That seems kind of like a minor thing, but going to the hospital for stitches, that could, at minimum, that could be hundreds of dollars. And if you don't have income coming in, or you have, your income got cut in half or whatever, that's an expense that you may not be able to afford, And then, even the coronavirus bill, if you got to go to the hospital for that, and you have to stay there for any extended period of time and you don't have insurance, there's ways to kind of work with it, but you're still going to get a pretty hefty bill if you have to stay in the hospital overnight. And if you got to stay in the hospital overnight for more than one night, and you don't have health insurance, that is going to be thousands of dollars that you're going to have to, get set up on some sort of a payment plan. And, if you're not working, where is that money going to come from?
You're right. Now, unlike you, I actually do like Bernie. I understand the practical, arguments we've had about him, how do you pay for these things? Now, I will say, when a stimulus package was suddenly needed, they came up with the money real quick. So the $2 trillion was going to cost for Medicare for All suddenly was available at the snap of Trump's fingers. I don't want that to be unfair. I'm not blaming Trump for that.
No. I mean, and again, like I said, I've come around on this because, one, seeing the number of people that just got booted off their health insurance and now who don't have it and are faced with the things that I just talked about. But then the fact that what you just brought up, how quickly when, the government really wanted to, Democrats, Republicans, Trump, and everybody was able to sit down at the table and say, okay, yeah, we need something. And they were able to get it together and, they're going to do another round of stimulus for small businesses and things like that. So obviously it was there. So there are a lot of people pointing out, like, you've been fucking lying to us this whole fucking time.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I saw you going back and forth with some folks on Twitter about how oversight of this $2 trillion seems to be getting pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime there's that kind of money floating around, there's going to be some corruption. And I'm not saying that to dismiss it, because I am all for finding out who's cheating the system, and, you know, making them...
Well, I mean, the oversight is really, I mean, it's really questionable, because Trump's just like, yeah, the banks are going to oversee it.
And right, because,
like,
they've never done anything wrong.
Right. I'm like, are you serious? Like, did you happen to see what happened in 2008 and everything leading up to it? But, I mean, you know, I mean, there are people who still want blood from, you know, CEOs of these large banks.
Count me among them.
Right.
I've been bad-mouthing Jamie Dimon from Chase ever since.
And he is, you know, Jamie Dimon is not a great guy, but Jamie Dimon was not your problem there.
He was in the middle of it.
Okay, every single bank was in the middle of it, but of the he was not the worst of the bad actors.
Oh gosh, no.
They're all bankrupt. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, and you can't be mad at Jamie Dimon because he put Chase in a position to survive. I mean, Chase also is one of the larger employers in the state of Ohio. You know, they're headquartered here in Columbus, and I mean, they for all the bad, there was enough probably good to balance out to say, okay, you deserve a hand slap, but I mean, there are others who people should be in jail.
Okay, no, my beef with Jamie Dimon is he was one of the ones that came out and said, we need some of this money to pay bonuses to our people because they need to, and yes, that just ground my gears, man.
I mean, like, you got to be able to read the room. He didn't at that point in time, but, you know, some of the things that he's done with Chase since then have been good enough. Now, I'm not saying that he's a perfect angel, and there's plenty of, I mean, whenever you get that sort of, whenever you personally amass that sort of money and you work for an entity that amasses the type of money that Chase Bank has, then it you know, the lines get blurry very quickly in terms of, you know, what's really good for everybody or what's just good for the pocketbook.
Right. But I just, the bonuses thing really torqued me, because it was all about, well, how are we going to maintain good talent if we can't pay these people these bonuses, because half of their income comes from bonuses? You mean the people that, and it was the people who were doing the sleazy loans that led to the whole fucking collapse, and those guys did not deserve bonuses. They fucked things up.
That's fine.
And I'm getting us off track, because the real thing is Bernie.
Yeah.
So Bernie's out. The Bernie bros are pissed. Yeah. I got into some shit that I shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, they're pissed, and we knew that they were going to be pissed. I mean, once it was clear that Bernie didn't have a path, I mean, they immediately kind of turned their claws on everybody. You're going to, I'm sorry, the way that this, I believe that this kind of breaks out is, you know, the Bernie crowd is going to be broken into probably three different groups. You're going to have the pissed off Bernie people that are going to take their ball and go home and not vote.
Right.
Because Bernie isn't the candidate. And I think that they were going to do that no matter who the candidate was. You know, they had turned their claws on everybody, whether it was Kamala Harris. I mean, maybe, you know, Julian Castro was maybe the only one that they might have been able to kind of rally around.
Elizabeth Warren, maybe.
Maybe Elizabeth Warren, but I mean, they had even kind of, you know, they had the claws out for Elizabeth Warren as well. Maybe they could have patched up that relationship and gotten behind her. But, you know, she had said some things that they all didn't like. And so, right, would she have been able to win back their good graces? Who knows? But the reality is, a lot of those people, if Bernie wasn't going to be the candidate, then they were going to do what they did in 2016 and not vote. then you have your Bernie supporters who are very active on social media, who talk a big game about Bernie and Medicare for All and fairness and, you know, the progressive agenda, but they never vote. They never make it out on time to vote. They never make it out to vote in the primaries, and it hurts Bernie because it seems like he has more grassroots support than he actually does, because these people don't actually vote. And then when you when you talk to them about it, then their whole thing is, well, you know, we can't, because if we miss an hour of work, we're going to get fired and lose our job and lose our health insurance. And apparently every Bernie supporter has, you know, these life-threatening diseases where they need medication. And if they don't work, they don't get their insurance and they won't get their medication. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, it's just like, fuck you, you're a fucking bartender. You don't bartend at fucking 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, like, that's just an example. But now, again, I'm also of the mindset that, you know, we need to, you know, voting needs to be a holiday. It needs to be done on a day where either we take Tuesday and say it's a federal holiday, nobody's working, or we put it on a Saturday. Yes, people still work on holidays and Saturdays, but a lot less do, and we make it more reasonable for people to get out there and vote. And for that, I would be willing to swap and say, okay, now we need to mandate IDs for everybody to vote, right? Like, it's a give and take sort of thing. You know, progressive left, they push back on the idea of, you know, voter registration and IDs. My God, what the fuck?
Coronavirus!
I know, we need a cough button.
We do.
It just worked out, and then
yeah,
allergy season, whatever. Anyway, right. But I would be willing to say, all right, fine, then let's mandate, you know, we can mandate the voter ID, but at the same time, we need to do things like make it easier for older people to get their birth certificates and social security cards in case they moved out of different states or whatever the situation might be, like, so people can have access to get an ID. And then in some states, it's kind of crazy expensive to get an ID. So all those sort of things.
That's a dangerous game, in my opinion, because if you start mandating a voter ID where it's not just a state-issued ID.
No, I mean, not a voter ID, but okay. Mandating an ID, a state-administered ID to vote, whether it's just a state ID, a driver's license, passport, whatever it might be. If you want to mandate that, that's fine. You know, in Ohio, you have to have it. And, you know, there's different ways that you can do it. But, I mean, it just like okay, I'm fine with that. You know, I mean, the idea, because, I mean, it would shut the Republicans up on, oh, mass voter fraud and everything else. So, yeah, I would be all for having the voter ID or the state, you know, required ID.
Identification of voting day, right?
To vote, yes. And in exchange, I want a special day that we all, you know, I don't care, get rid of fucking Columbus Day and then move it to November, and then that's the day that we all go and fucking vote. Why is that the worst thing in the world?
It's not. And I mean, the argument is always that if you make that a holiday, people will use it as a vacation day.
Fine.
And go out of town and do whatever.
No, they're not gonna. I mean, make it on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true. If you make it on Tuesday, we'll take off Monday and get a 4-day weekend. Okay, fine.
Go fucking vote.
And
just yeah. Come back in time to vote. I don't care.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But yeah, the Bernie Bros are pissed. I've been in way too many Facebook exchanges and a couple Twitter exchanges about that. Because it's always, so now they're saying, I'm not voting for Bernie, one friend in particular. I'm not voting for
Biden
because he's a rapist just like Trump and my conscience won't let me do it. First, I'm going to say, bullshit, it's not your conscience, you're mad about Bernie. But having said that, Tara Reid, a woman who worked for the Biden staff in 1993, has come out with an allegation that she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden. This will get traction in the media. Now, I'm not going to...
When?
I don't know. She made
this allegation months ago.
Well, it was the last couple of weeks is the first I saw of it.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Okay, but okay. She made it months ago.
Okay. And I, you know, I'm never going to say I don't believe a victim or an alleged victim. But the timing of this is awfully convenient to me. I mean, he's been a senator multiple times. He was a presidential candidate in 2008. Nothing then. He was a vice presidential candidate in 2008 and then reelected in 2012. Where was that then? And I'm not saying, well, she owes it to this, but if you want me to say I'm going to completely derail my support of Joe Biden based on a 27-year-old accusation, I need to at least give it its due process.
I need to hear the story.
I've read her version. Have you?
No,
it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. So her version is she was asked to deliver a gym bag to Joe Biden. He is in a hallway in a government building. She gives him the gym bag. He pins her against the wall, puts his hand up her shirt, up her blouse, and under her skirt, and digitally penetrates her. She pushes him away. He gets angry because he's rejected and says, "I thought you liked me." Takes his gym bag and stomps away. A week later, she is asked to attend a cocktail party as a server, and she refuses. And she says that she was asked to be a server at this party because Joe, quote-unquote, liked her legs. She says, no, I'm not here to be a cocktail server. And shortly thereafter, she's dismissed from her role as a staffer. Now, if he did physically penetrate her with a finger, that's rape. That's not just, I mean, I'm not saying groping is okay, but there's a big difference between grabbing a boob and physically penetrating somebody.
Which none of it's good, by the way.
None of us, but there are degrees.
I understand.
And I know you love when I parse these things, but...
With the climate, you gotta be clear.
There's bad and there's worse.
Yes.
And this is, and the allegation goes from bad to worse. Now, this happened in a hallway is weird to me. There's a bunch of stuff about the story that's weird to me. But it absolutely deserves due process. But I'm not going to say based on the...
What's weird about it? I mean, a hallway and one of the... Have you ever been inside a government building in D.C.? I mean, those buildings are massive. They're old. I mean, there's plenty of sketchy hallways where...
True.
You walk down and you're just like, oh, someone could definitely get murdered down there and I wouldn't even know.
All right.
I mean, like if you've been in any of these, some of these older buildings in D.C., then you've definitely walked past a hallway and you're just like, I'm pretty sure there's a skeleton down there.
Okay.
So I honestly... I believe it enough. Now, again, I'm not a Joe Biden fan, and I'm not saying the guy... I don't know what happened.
You know,
I mean, unfortunately, I don't, but it's, again, it's something worth looking into. Now, I think the issue that you have is, in terms of actual criminal charges, you're beyond your statute of limitations and things like that, so there's not much that you could do on that front. Does she want to bring a civil suit? I'm not sure... What?
So her story is she didn't file a police report because she didn't feel comfortable. She did say something at the time to her mom, is what the story that I read said. And this was an interview with her, so these are her words, unless the story is being falsely reported, which they had it in quotes, so I'm going to take it at face value. My beef is, it's a 27-year-old story where there's no way to prove or disprove it, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to find a video camera from 1993 that shows it. It's not a Weinstein or Donald Trump situation where you have accuser after accuser after accuser, where eventually you get to a point where you say, okay, even if half of this is true, this is not someone you can get behind.
I fully agree. It's just,
it's dangerous. And people I guarantee there's people who are getting pissed at me right now.
I hate these stories. Just off my experience, I tend to believe the women, probably to a fault, but then there's the real world application practicality of the time that we live in and what's going to happen with it. You know, so do I believe this story? I mean, I don't know enough about it. Like, I would probably need to read and listen to hear her talk about it. But again, that doesn't matter because you can't tell the truth. It doesn't even matter if she takes a lie detector test because no one believes those anymore, right? Like, they can all be tricked and they can all be okay.
Right.
Like we've seen one too many spy movies, but there's not a ton that we could do about it. So the question is, do you still support Joe Biden? Are you still going to vote for Joe Biden? But the problem is, so if I say no and I don't vote for Joe Biden, my other option is just don't vote at all, or Trump. And Trump has the same allegations times 10.
Well, Trump is on tape saying you can grab women by the pussy.
Right. I mean, you've got multiple women who have told like really gross, terrible stories about things that he's done. And it's not that one rapist is better or one sexual harasser or whatever is better than the other. But, I mean, they're both problematic. And so the world that we live in, these are our options. You know, I mean, and so you can thank the DNC for this, for pushing Joe Biden as their candidate of choice. You know, this is where, you know, again, if I'm running the show at the DNC, I'm looking at the candidates. I probably would have put more emphasis behind, again, either a Julian Castro or a Kamala Harris or an Amy Klobuchar or something along those lines. I never could get behind Elizabeth Warren.
Nor could I. I was behind her prior to this election cycle, and she did a couple things that rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, I'll be honest, my beef with Elizabeth Warren was just the whole thing with her, the Native American thing. I know people are like, oh, you need to get over it. Fuck you. You don't tell me what to get over. Right? Like, I thought it was bullshit. I mean, yeah, it was a long ass time ago, but it was bullshit. And then the whole thing that she tried to push it, like, oh, yeah, I'm totally Native American. Like,
I'm one millionth
right. Native American. Right. And then she goes in, and then it's just like, no, you're about as Native. Like, I'm probably more Native American than she is. And then she's just like, oh, well. You know, well, whatever. Papa told us a story, and I thought it was true. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, and with the Elizabeth Warren thing, there is verifiable evidence. I mean, they can dig up her Harvard application and show a box she checked.
Yes.
So, you know, she can deny or deflect all she wants. She did that shit. Yeah. Whether or not Biden did it, it's a he said, she said from 27 years ago.
And again, this is why, you know, if the DNC were smart, which it's not, it's proven time and time again. You know, I'm pushing a candidate. Like, I don't need Joe Biden and his skeletons of, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's been in government for 40 years. Like, yeah, that's 40 years of dirt that any decent Oppo researcher can go and dig and find something. And even if the shit's not true, what did we learn? We've learned over the last 5 years that if you can just put the image out there that... You know, right. Put the thought in someone's head. It's just like the movie Inceptions, right? Just plant the idea and let people run with it. Then, and Joe Biden gives people so much ammunition that
there's here enough we video are. Of him sniffing girls' hair and doing right, weird and
doing
shit.
All that
he
sort
does
of weird...
creepy stuff and he says dumb stuff. I've brought up the fact that he does not seem to be mentally with it. You don't want to go there, and I get it.
I don't want to go. Listen,
Joe Rogan went there. Did you hear that?
I did, and I've heard. Listen, I've got people that work at the Cleveland Clinic, people that work in hospitals in D.C., people who work in the government who have told me things about Joe Biden that I won't repeat because there's no way for me to vet these things. But
wait, what's this responsible journalism bullshit? Say it. Come on, it's dirt.
Fuck out
of here.
It's
dirt.
That being said, it does not make me feel comfortable with Joe Biden and his capacity. Right? I mean...
You mean his mental facilities?
Or, yes. Okay. And his overall mental facilities, mental capacities, things like this. And these are people that I trust, but again, I can't vet it, right. So I'm not going to put it out there. But it's enough for me
you
to say...
You kind of just did.
Well, no, trust me, I didn't. Because okay. Like, it's, you know, I'll go off air with it later.
All right.
But it just, like, no, I don't. But now, that's all I got. Right? There's not even anyone talking about running as a third party or jumping in as an independent, and that's a bad idea because it's all a vote for Trump, and we know how that goes down. But I mean,
I'm going to replay you yelling at me over my Gary Johnson
I'm not saying that I would vote third party, but I'm just saying, like, there's no other option. You only have three options.
Biden, Trump,
or don't vote, which is basically a vote for Trump.
Right. And... You know, in Ohio, which is a state that has been, you know, leaning red for a while now.
Well, Ohio's a red state. Ohio's a red state except for Cleveland.
Well, I mean, how many...
And Cleveland's massive, but, I mean, right. in the
but,
state.
But Obama,
in the state.
Obama won Ohio twice, right?
Yeah, he won Ohio twice. He did, and I think that's since changed. I mean, it's just Cleveland is a Democratic stronghold.
And Columbus is pretty liberal, too.
Because if you look at the way, like, you got to remember how the lines are drawn, right? Like,
we're gerrymandered to fuck.
Right. I mean, it's
how districts are drawn is comical. If you ever look at an Ohio district map, it is a joke.
And it really is. But Columbus isn't as blue as you think it is. Because Columbus to me is very similar to Maryland. Like, you have.
You mean Ohio is similar to Maryland?
No, Columbus is similar to Maryland, right? Okay. Because you still have plenty of rural country boys and folks that are that are right in the Columbus area, you know, like right on the outskirts. But then you have like downtown Columbus and, you know, High North and all that other shit. Short North,
which has High Street on it.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. You had Short North and all that stuff, which is great. But Columbus is still is the best I would describe it is maybe purple.
Yeah, I'll go with purple. And I think the state's purple because Cincinnati is definitely red. Cleveland is definitely blue. Columbus is somewhere in the middle.
But Mahoning County is red, where I'm from.
You know? Yeah, I've got some.
I mean, and listen, I love my hometown, but there are some dumb motherfuckers there. if you've ever been to Youngstown.
Who was the congressman who ran for like 20
Jimmy
minutes?
Jimmy Trafficant.
No, I love Jimmy Trafficant.
Oh.
Who was the one who was in the presidential
Oh, just now.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ryan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
he's and Brian's a good guy. Tim Ryan, he's a good guy. I mean, he's just not a presidential candidate.
Okay.
You know? I mean, he's just kind of, you know, I mean, he's a smart guy and he knows his shit, but he's just, no one was going to vote for him. Not after, and the problem is, like, prior to Trump, then he might have been able to get traction. But Trump has really skewed the scales because Trump has gotten rid of the need for people to be prim and proper and say the right thing. And boring is good, right? Like the Jeb Bush candidate and the, you know what I mean? Like Bill Clinton was a little too much flair, but Obama was you know, very by the book and concise and all that other shit. But, you know, like people like Tim Ryan and the Mitt Romney types with it that have been bred from birth to be presidential candidates, and they go to Yale and they do all these things, and that shit is gone, right? Like Trump has literally lowered the bar. I mean, for who can be, if you're just rich and ridiculous, then run for president.
Yeah, but it doesn't work for Mike Bloomberg.
No, but I mean, Bloomberg wasn't rich and ridiculous. He's just rich and an asshole.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
yeah, like, that's true.
You know what I mean?
He wasn't like, exciting.
No, I mean, to that point, I mean, you know, Bloomberg, you know, I kind of got behind Bloomberg because I thought that if he could get over himself and not be a billionaire dick and try to actually be a person and not a billionaire dick, then he could combat Trump, but he couldn't get over himself, right? Like, people asked him questions about shit that he had done in his past, and he's like, well, I did it, and if you don't like it, then I'm sorry that you're offended.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, well, all right, well...
he also, and this is, I'm going to pat myself on the back here, he pushed an agenda that was wrapped around the mentality of New York City and thought it would be beloved across the country, and it's like, dude, you do not have your finger on the pulse of the country.
No, he
because
didn't.
You're in
you're
that
right.
circle.
You were definitely right about that, especially down south, and then... He just did nothing to try to appeal to the masses. Like he just figured he could buy his way through. And I thought, again, if his campaign manager is doing their job, they're like, you know, that's the other problem is that these campaign managers are not running the campaigns. The candidates are running the campaigns, and the campaign managers are then saying, okay, this is what he wants to do, so this is what we're gonna do. As a campaign manager, your job is to say, listen, I'm not going to let you sabotage this thing. My job is to get you elected, so this is what you need to do. I don't care how rich you are. This is how this is going to go down, right? But from Hillary to Bloomberg to Kamala Harris to, you know, a lot of these people who have run, it's all been about them, and their campaign managers are just sycophants patting them on the back saying, yeah, we're going to do that. And that's it's not working.
I mean, say what you want about James Carville. James Carville took Clinton's campaign, grabbed it and ran with it, and played to the strengths and deflected the weaknesses.
I mean, even if you look at like
or
the people,
Karl Rove, who I hate, did a phenomenal job.
Karl Rove did a good job. And listen, Trump had a number of people around him, from Steve Bannon to Corey Lewandowski to, you know, other people that were in the background. What's her name with the crooked face?
Kellyanne Conway?
Yes, Kellyanne Conway. People like that, like, who were all...
Name the crooked face.
Yeah, she does.
Okay,
like, I don't know. I mean, maybe she's got some sort of palsy or something. I don't know. But, I mean, like, that's how I think of her. But Trump had all these people around him who were kind of doing the job in spite of Trump. They said, all right, we're going to build this around him. But there were things that Trump had no idea what was going on, like what was going on with social media and what they were doing on Facebook and what they were, you know, ad buying on Facebook and Google and Twitter and Instagram and blah, blah, blah. All that sort of stuff. Trump had no idea that that was going on. But the reason they were doing it is because it was a better way to spend money as opposed to going on TV. And it was reaching who they needed to reach, right? They could do targeted ad buys, and they could go to the people that they could figure out, all right, who's listening to Breitbart? All right. How many people is that? Okay. Find those people and people who think like them and people who may not be listening to Breitbart, but find those people on Facebook. In Facebook, they have all that data. So if you go in and you push the right buttons, Facebook will give you that data. And then you can target ads to get to those people. And that's what the Trump administration did. Hillary's people didn't do that. Right?
They didn't. They were patting themselves on the back.
They didn't do
so
that. They were just like, we don't need to do that. Screw Facebook. You know, like, screw that. Like, it's not only what they did in terms of places that they didn't physically go. It's that they lost the battle digitally, and they thought they were winning it, you know, on the front end with the TV and everything else. And then when they kind of basically sat her down and then just tried to coast into it, they were getting blown out of the water because Trump's groups were going out and doing all the different things that a lot of candidates hadn't done before, and not for any other reason than, you know, in previous elections, all this shit wasn't available, right? I mean, like Twitter, Facebook, social media, Instagram, all that shit really didn't blow up until after the 2012 election, right? I mean, like, so...
I mean, Obama was on those things, but he didn't really weaponize them.
But those things, like, Obama wasn't running in 2016, right? He was in 2012. Right. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram didn't have nearly the command of people's attention that they in 2012 as they did in 2015, right? I mean, like, I think you forget...
The only thing I would argue is Facebook. I think Facebook
It's an argument that you'll lose, because if you look at the numbers of Facebook in 2012 and you look at the numbers...
It's more now than then, but Facebook was, I think, more... I know a lot of people who don't even do Facebook anymore because they're onto Instagram and other things, whereas... You know,
but the numbers of the people who were actually physically on it, the numbers of people that were, like, the people who were joining Facebook, right? If you go from 2008 to 2012 to 2015 to now, like, there's a reason why Facebook is worth what it is now compared to what it was then. And it's not because less people are using it.
All right. I mean, I've not paid attention to their stock or their value. I just know that other competing social networking apps have become more prominent, and I think they've taken a chunk out of Facebook, but we're getting off topic.
Because you're not paying attention to data.
I don't have the data in front of me. But you brought up, we brought up Mike Bloomberg. You brought this to my attention before we got on the air.
That motherfucker, let me just tell you, I'm going to cut in all... another reason why I was behind Bloomberg is that I thought that he could help... in the election, because his thing was like, listen, even if I'm not the candidate, I'm going to keep my staff on. We're going to push people down ballot, and I'm going to support them, and my staff is going to be there, and we're going to support the Democratic candidate and other Democratic candidates in congressional runs and right. Senate runs, and we're basically going to be the financing wing of the DNC. Well, come to find out that with all this stuff, and he's blaming the coronavirus, but he reneged on all that. So, you know, the staff, like, they, instead of, you know, keeping the staff on board through November, he got rid of them, got rid of their health insurance, all that stuff. So, I mean, he's now being sued by his campaign staff because he made that promise to them. Now, I don't know if it was in their contract or what, so we'll see how that suit works out. But, again, where, you know, like, Bloomberg kind of showed us one thing and then was something completely different, which, you know, typical politician.
And Bloomberg's money is a huge... X factor in this, because I mean, Bernie said he wouldn't take money from Bloomberg. I think a big part of the reason the DNC, there's multiple reasons why the DNC would choose Biden over Bernie, but one of those key factors is you've got a multi-billionaire saying he's all into beating Trump, and you, Bernie, are saying I'm not going to be corrupted by that money, which on principle I respect, but practically I don't, because you, let me quote Steve. Let me quote Herm Edwards, who's going to get quoted by Steve. You play to win the game. You win with the ground rules that are in front of you. I believe in playing by the rules, but I believe in playing hard. And Bernie's I'm too pure for this thing rubbed a lot of folks the wrong way. And great that you maintained your moral stance there, Bern, but if you lose, well, taking the high ground, we got 4 more years of Trump.
How many times have I told you that?
You said that a bunch of times.
I mean,
I've never argued that.
And my thing is, I don't know if the DNC didn't back Bernie because he said he wouldn't take money from billionaires and Bloomberg. I don't believe that's it. I think that they just didn't think that he was a viable candidate, and they thought that Biden was, and so they feel that they've been validated because, look, he won, right? Even though that they put a majority of their energy behind him, I don't think that the DNC is that they don't think they have not shown that sort of depth to this point. So I just don't think that that's their thought process. Right. I think that they just thought that Biden was their guy and that was just it. Right. I don't think there was any sort of purity test or anything like that. And I think that they wanted Biden to win because, you know, some shitty poll months ago or a year ago said that Biden would, you know, Biden could win and beat Trump. So they just ran with it.
And by the way, I do think from an electability standpoint, Biden does have a lot of credentials. Because for one thing, Barack Obama will be there for him. That's going to help a lot of people. I think if you...
Okay.
You don't think so? You don't think Barack Obama will vocally support Joe Biden and win people's votes because of doing so?
Has he done it yet?
No, but Obama specifically said he would not get involved until a candidate was chosen, because he did not want to insert himself into the process. And I even saw an interview with Bernie Sanders where he said, you know, Obama, you know, obviously has a relationship with Biden, but he said he would stay out of it, and I commend him for sticking to his word. So where Obama comes into this changes dramatically now.
Obama's got, whoever the candidate was going to be, Obama was going to say,
support them, but he's going to support the guy who was his vice president for 8 years way more than a guy who's...
I think his show of support is going to be very underwhelming.
Okay.
I think his show of support is going to be very underwhelming, and I think it's going to be able to be picked apart by the media, and they're going to say he is just doing this because he has to. There's no enthusiasm behind it. It's going to be very dry, and it's going to be, I guarantee you, if I sat down and thought about it, I could probably write out almost word for word what he's going to say and how he's going to say it. That's like, and I think that you could probably apply it to just about anybody, swap out a few names, add a few things that they've done in the past together, and that's it. I don't think it's going to be any sort of thing where he's just going to be popping in on stage, you know, surprise guest, and he's going to, like, tour. No, it's just going to be... It's going to be... He's going to come out, and someone's going to ask him about it. Yeah, Joe's a great guy, and we worked together, and we accomplished the dream, and hope and change, and watch my shit on Netflix. That, like, that's... I guarantee you it's going to be... You're going to be disappointed.
Okay, we'll see. Time will tell. I'm sure we'll revisit this as it comes up. But I do think that's an X factor in Biden's favor. I think his running mate is going to be...
By the way, who does that help him with? The people that were already going to vote for Biden?
There's a lot of people who I think...
Who's it going to pull in?
I think it's going to be a... I think the black vote will get energized by it.
Okay.
I think I know this better than you.
Of course you do.
Well, first of all, I think it's very possible he's going to choose Kamala Harris as a running mate.
Okay, what does that have to do with Obama? Nothing.
Nothing to do with Obama, but okay. I'm sorry, that's with Biden being electable. But I think Obama still carries a lot of weight. I think he will be energetically behind Biden, and I think that he could also end up on the Supreme Court if Biden's elected.
Okay. I we'll see.
Okay.
All
right, let's move on because we're just going to go back and forth unless you want to get a closing point.
No.
Okay.
Maybe I'll write it down and then pin it to your forehead when it's all said and
done. All right, we'll see. So we've avoided talking too much coronavirus to this point, which I'm elated about. However, Boris Johnson was admitted to the hospital and then the ICU. Now he's out of the ICU.
Yeah, so let's talk about how this whole story went down with Boris Johnson. So Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, he ends up testing positive for the coronavirus. Says it's not a big deal. He's, you know, isolating in his home. And then about a week into it, maybe a little bit longer, about 10 days into it, they say he's getting admitted to the hospital. His press team, they say, yeah, this is just a routine thing, and we just wanted to check on him to make sure. He's the prime minister. We want to make sure everything's okay. And then not even 24 hours after they say that, Boris Johnson's in the ICU. You and I talked about that, and it just... That, to me, came across as worrisome. And it's, you know, my thought process is, listen, if he's bad enough to go in the ICU less than 24 hours after you check him out of the hospital, then maybe you probably, like, that means he was worse than you were letting on. And I understand that you're trying to maintain calm and you don't want to, but I think that you probably should have gone with a more neutral explanation of why he was in the hospital initially. And then if he ends up in the ICU... You don't have to walk anything back like they ended up having to do, and you could have transitioned into it smoother, but that's more of a style, you know, point on the way that they kind of presented this whole thing. But with Boris Johnson, he's one of those people that, like Trump, initially said this wasn't a big deal and, you know, told people that they needed to, you know, go out and do their thing and all this other stuff. And now you're in the ICU. Like, I'm sorry, if you're in the ICU, in the intensive care unit, then that means that something is very serious. Something very serious is happening inside your body. Yeah. Right. And knowing what this disease is, it attacks your lungs. It gets into your lungs and it eats up that tissue that's in your lungs. It makes it hard and painful to breathe. The reason I know this, my sister has it. My sister is fighting through it right now. Now, fortunately, it seems like she's going to come out on the other side of this thing okay, but it was a fucking bear for her. My sister is a nurse, right?
Right.
My sister is not, you know, just some random Joe. My sister is cut from a similar cloth than I am. She is not going to... She is not going to sit down. She's not going to go to the doctor for no reason. She's not gonna, like, she's a grinder. And this thing literally parked her. She had to self-isolate from her kids, from her husband. You know, she had to, she called to tell me it took, first of all, where she is in Youngstown, they're very slow to test and they're very slow to get the results of the test. It took her 5 or 6 days to get the results back, which is ridiculous. But by the time she told me that she was positive after she got the test, she was starting, at the time, she was like at the tail end of the worst of it. So the worst with the fever, the worst, you know, with the breathing, and she wasn't sleeping. And I mean, it was just, she called me, she sounded like a different person, and I was deeply concerned. Deeply. Now, she's, like I said, she's coming out it looks like she's coming out on the other side, and hopefully she'll be able to come out of isolation here in the next couple of days, in the next few days. On Monday, it's Friday now, it's hard to keep track of days.
It definitely is hard to keep track of days.
But, you know, it's Friday now, so she's thinking that she might be able to come out of isolation on Monday. But this disease is legit, right? Yeah. This virus is legit. It's not a joke, right? It is crazy how contagious that it is. Now, people want to argue about the numbers, how many people dead, and the projections, and Anthony Fauci, and blah, 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 blah. You'd say whatever you want about all that other shit. All I know is that if you get this thing, it is a fucking bear. Now, not everybody gets symptoms. Some people have different immune systems, but it's legit. So the concern for Boris Johnson, right, if you've ever seen Boris Johnson, he does not look like the healthiest chap, right, across
the
pond.
Did we talk about how old he is?
You and I talked about it individually, yes.
He's 55 years old. Right. If you would have just shown me a picture of him and said, how old is Boris Johnson, I would have said Trump's age.
Yeah.
Mid-70s.
Right.
I mean, he looks awful.
I mean, he doesn't look as bad as Les Parnas.
No, he doesn't look as bad as Les Parnas.
He's younger than Boris Johnson and looks older than
Unfortunately,
Trump.
I feel like I'm the benchmark for this. Like Boris Johnson is only 7 years older than me. I'm like, if I look like that in 7 years, put me down.
I mean, and here's the thing. Kudos to you. You don't look as bad as Boris Johnson and Les Parnas. So...
That is the most left-handed Lev Parnas. That's the most left-handed compliment I have ever received.
I've given you a few. So.
Yeah, but that one, that was...
That's up there.
You don't look like the Crypt Keeper, is basically what you just said to me. So thanks, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You got a fucking $90 bottle of bourbon.
It's awesome bourbon. Honest to God, Steve,
crazy how the price has gone up on that shit, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's more than I paid last time I bought some. Well, that's great stuff, though. Thank you. Yeah. I honestly thought Boris Johnson was going to die. Just the way it was getting delivered to us in the media.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was scary because it's just like, he's got it. He's self-isolated. Now he's in the hospital. Now he's in ICU.
Then he's in ICU for a second day.
Right. Just like, ooh, that's scary. And then, I mean, because once you start talking about, third, fourth day in ICU, now you're talking about, medically induced comas and shit like that.
Well, and they said another thing that really made me get concerned, because I said, he's on oxygen, but don't worry, he's not on a ventilator. And I took that as, okay, he's on a ventilator.
Right. Part of that's on them, because it's hard now, because you said, oh, he's in the hospital, but he's fine. And then he's in ICU. ICU, by definition, does not mean you're fine.
Right.
Okay? Like, there's no person who you say, oh, he's... Like, they don't put people in ICU just to check your blood pressure. Right?
Right.
It's a serious thing. So there was serious concern. I try not to think about, this guy's going to die, but it's just like, this is bad. And you have to, my thing is, what is their succession plan if something happens?
Right.
You know, I mean,
I don't know.
Cause he just, I mean, have. He's only been in office for a year? About?
Yeah, somewhere on there.
So, I mean, you just have to, listen, UK's been around.
It's
more than
that though, isn't it? Brexit was in...
First of all, Brexit has been going on for...
Right, right. Okay, but
I still don't think they have a...
No, they don't.
Right.
Right. You think they don't have a...
Well, exactly.
Brexit, how are they going to handle succession of
it? Yeah, I'm just putting it out there that it was a scary situation for them. But fortunately, he's out of ICU, and it seems like he's making that turn for the better. So, good. But, he needs to now come out and clearly acknowledge he was wrong about what the disease is, what the virus is, and how dangerous it is. You got to figure out what you can do to make sure that you slow it down, because UK's having a tough time with it. France is having a tough time with it. Obviously, we know about Italy. Spain is having a really tough time.
Right. Iran.
Iran. I'm just talking about countries in Europe that are in close proximity to the United Kingdom. So, I mean, listen, and the way the United Kingdom is, they're right on top of each other there. So, yeah. I mean, like, they all need to kind of be on the same page in terms of how they're going to slow this thing down.
At least the United Kingdom's an island, though. It's true. A lot easier to control that where versus
true.
Europe. With, because I saw a thing about New Zealand is bouncing back quickly. Well, yeah, yeah. But it's New Zealand. It's, right. An, it's island an island with literally not a lot in of people.
In the middle of an ocean that nobody can get to. Right.
I'm like, good.
They got more sheep than fucking people. Relax.
I used to get serum from New Zealand.
What the fuck are we talking? Serum?
Yeah, it was blood serum from cows in New Zealand because it was like the most uncorruptible country, like in terms of crossbreeding
what
or whatever.
Were you doing with
I was not personally. I was not personally. I worked for a company that used it in part of their formulations, and New Zealand was the key place.
Trying to make your own steroids, Jim?
No, I'm not making steroids, and if I did, I wouldn't sell them to you. So, all right. But anyway, the point is that New Zealand was the
New Zealand's sort of not
untouchable
the
place, right? It's not the same standard to hold. Like when I bring up the Danish healthcare system and you come back at me with, well, that's so much smaller. True, we can fight that fight. But New Zealand is definitely an outlier.
In everything,
yes. And except for gun violence, because they had one of those. One thing I want to say about Trump real quick, because we're still on politics, is I saw something floating around about Trump says he may pardon Joe Exotic from Tiger King. We talked about Tiger King. That this is another headline grab that is complete bullshit. Anyone who's listened to the show for more than 10 minutes knows I have no trouble criticizing Donald Trump. However, he was asked a question by a New York Post reporter and just responded to a dopey question from a reporter and ended it with saying, I'll look into it. And that gets spun into Trump considering pardoning Joe Exotic. Like, he didn't say that. He didn't. He doubled
One,
the dopey
I,
question.
I doubt Trump actually knows who Joe Exotic is.
He did
is.
Not. He actually said, I don't know what that is, but
right.
Apparently Don Jr. recommended it. And he said, and then like, he said, one of your sons thinks it's a good idea. And he goes, was it Don? He was like, I knew it was Don. It was actually pretty awkward.
That is. It's one of those family moments. Like, God damn it, he's such right. an idiot. But
it was exactly like that.
I think, one, Trump didn't know who Joe Exotic was.
Right.
And I think that's Trump's standard answer when he doesn't know. Like, I'll look into it, figure
sure.
it out. And there's probably somebody in the back who writes it down and says, all right, now I got to go fucking explain to this guy what Tiger King is or
right.
whatever.
But
and you're right. It was spun. And that's a lot of what, I mean, that's the, you know, shame on the media.
The fake news drum gets beaten really hard when you do that bullshit.
I mean, and then there's just the reality of the situation. We all know that Carol fucking Baskins is going to get Joe Exotic killed in jail before he can be pardoned by anybody. So let's just be honest.
I don't know that she has that kind of reach.
You don't?
Carol Baskins, I don't think can get...
Man, listen. Her husband is still in Costa Rica. Okay.
Right. Oh, her husband's dead and she's a murderer. I'm not arguing that. She's an evil psycho, but I don't think she can.
I don't know. Like,
she's going to pay some dude to shank him?
Listen, she's like, got more than $3,000. We know that.
There's that.
Okay.
And she can sell a tiger and get $2,000. We know that too.
Exactly. So I feel like if Carol Baskins wanted Joe Exotic dead, she could get it handled.
I just don't want Epstein didn't kill himself to get turned into Exotic didn't kill himself. All right.
I heard Joey's doing pretty bad with the coronavirus.
Who is?
Joe Exotic. He's doing pretty bad. I think he's in isolation.
I had not heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
One of his husbands said something.
I think he's down to one.
I don't know.
I think that story was a while, but we've done that. One other thing about coronavirus that we need to talk about. Though,
coronavirus?
I can't help but do that. I love it so much. Really, two senators, the four senators got implicated in making shady stock moves regarding coronavirus, but two of them really deserve criticism. And you've got the names in front of you.
So it's Richard Burr. He is a Republican senator out of North Carolina. And Kelly Loeffler, who is a Republican senator out of Georgia. You know, they both made some very questionable moves. With, you know, selling stock before the, you know, right before news of the coronavirus broke. And then, you know, but right after being in secure briefings, talking about, you know, kind of what was coming down the pipe in terms of coronavirus and its impact on people or what its impact was going to be on the country, the markets, things like that. And so their deals were directly related to companies that were going to be impacted by the coronavirus one way or another. So they dumped companies that were, you know, going to lose value, and then they, you know, picked up, and in the, you know, Kelly Loeffler, she picked up companies like Cisco that stood to, you know, gain with, you know, people not being able to work and needing to use teleconferencing more and you know, needing to boost up VPNs and, you know, some of the stuff that's going along with this whole, you know, basic shutdown. And now Kelly Loeffler looks really bad because her husband is the CEO of the company that owns the New York Stock Exchange. She's also the richest senator of all the senators in the United States. And she's known for just being one of those cutthroat rich people. Right, like she not really gives a fuck about much of anything or how things look. Like she is about making money.
Greed is good. Greed is. Damn it.
Coronavirus.
The thing that bothered me the most about her defense, and it's every time something like this happens, the defense is always, I have other people who handle my investments. I don't get involved at all.
That is exactly why they do that.
Right.
Like that is designed.
And they hide behind it, and right. It's bullshit. Okay, so you didn't physically make click the button that made the transaction, fine. But you talked to your investment guy and said, I just learned this stuff. What can I do to save money or make money?
Unless he recorded that conversation and he's willing to take her down over it, and that's
which
where
he never will.
And he never will.
And
because
he probably can't legally.
Right, he probably stands to lose too much money, right?
Non-disclosure.
He could do it probably under a whistleblower statute, right? Because if
in theory he could, but we both know that will never happen.
No. Career's
over if you do that.
Right, but I mean, listen, you
people have done. I mean, I'm sure Edward Snowden is one of my favorite guys.
Listen, I'm sure that guy who handles her money with the money that she's worth, I'm sure he's fine. Right, like I'm sure if he wanted to walk away, he could. But none of these folks ever do. No, I mean, because greed is good.
Greed is good. So anyway, they're getting some heat now, and she's saying, well, I'll give back the money. Mm-mm. Ain't the point.
That's not what she said.
Oh, what did she say?
She said she would put the money into mutual funds and EFTs.
I'll do this again.
She did not say she was going to give back the
money. I thought she said she was going to make amends for what she did.
She did. She said she will, fine, I'll just put the money in mutual funds and EFTs, and that'll be that.
Like, so put in something with lower earning potential, right, but more stability.
Like, what the fuck? and maybe we should bring Ben on, week to kind of talk about everything that's going on with the market. The market's been crazy. In theory, we probably could have had him on every week since all this shit has been going on.
He's been reaching out to us too.
I do want to kind of temper that conversation because Ben is very intense and he's a very knowledgeable guy. And so
we're not a market show.
We're not. And so sometimes he can be kind of, you know, fire hose to the face when it comes to some of this stuff. So I figure let's see what the market does a little bit. But I think, you know, maybe bringing him on, next week or, you know, maybe.
We're now having a production meeting in front of our audience.
True. Behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll have Ben back on soon. We can talk more about, I know he is not a fan of hers. Just based off of his interactions with
on Twitter,
but yeah, we'll definitely talk to him and get him back on because there are plenty of things to talk about with the market. I mean, the market has just been crazy. I am up like, I don't know, 2 or 3% from where I was like really before all this shit started, which is just fucking crazy.
I've gotten kicked in the balls.
Yeah, I don't know how you're invested, so I mean,
right.
I don't know.
And by the way,
I'm invested very smartly.
One of our listeners, a girl named Bobby out in Washington, sent me a message talking about whether or not I'm actually flexible enough to kick someone in the balls based on our last episode. She also told me I'm funnier than you.
You're the stand-up comedian.
I better be. If I'm not funnier than the lifter who is a lawyer, then I better not do stand-up comedy anymore. You know what? I'm thinking about this. I have not done stand-up in a while, and I was really worried about being rusty, but now all the other comics are going to be Everybody's just as rusty as me. I've gotten my excuses are gone. We talk about issues all the time about, you know, whether it's racially fueled or just awkward and inappropriate. There was a doctor who attacked a girl in Louisville and literally, like, it was, I watched the video, I'm sure you did too.
I tweeted it out. I mean, it's been a few days. But it was just a really, really, really bad scene.
Yeah.
You know?
59-year-old guy, at the time the initial video came out, no one knew who he was. Now we do know who he was. In fact, now I remember you tweeting, like, let's find out who this asshole is.
Yeah.
He's a doctor. And if you see the video, he gets into a shouting match with a group of three or four teenage girls. And he goes from angry to psycho and literally charges a girl who is on the ground.
Like, he pushes one girl out of the way. And right. he kind of rips through and he points at the black girl on the ground. And he's like, you. And then he drops, like, the girl's already on the ground. And we don't know why. And he drops down to a knee and then just starts to choke the shit out of this girl. And it enraged me to the point where it's just like, we need to find him. Right? And then we need to hurt him. Like, why the fuck any grown man felt the need to do that to a teenage girl? I don't know. And you cannot get around the race aspect. Why he singled her out. She's already on the ground. He drops down. It looked like a bad horror movie. Like he was like Frankenstein. And like he was being remote controlled. Like he drops down to a knee and just starts to fucking choke the girl. And, you know, to the girl, her friend's credit, like, they are slapping him and trying to get him off of her. You know, they had been screaming at him to begin with.
Right.
That, you know, whatever he was doing was unnecessary. And, I mean, he did push another girl basically to the ground. So I don't know who, like, I don't know what the fuck this guy's problem was, but they figured out who he was. He's been charged, you know, with some serious charges.
Right.
And so, I mean, he needs to go to jail. Lose your medical license and you need to go to jail.
So the story that I read was these girls were kind of congregating outside of a movie theater and he had chastised them. We don't know how, and, you know, for being socially too close and not respecting social distancing. And then, like you said, when we get to see things, the other girls are recording the incident. The black girl that he strangles is on the ground. I would love to know what happened prior to that. Like, was she on the ground because of a previous confrontation with him? And that's when they started recording it? Was she just sitting down? I don't know, but I would lean more towards the vibe I got is that that she was on the ground because of a previous confrontation, and that's when they felt the need to record things. But yeah, absolutely has to go to jail. I mean, I'm not, you know, putting this guy in you know, Jack the Ripper territory or you know, the cop who shot, name the person. I was thinking of I was thinking of the South Carolina shooting where the cop shot the guy in the back, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name, and I feel bad about
Walter Scott.
Thank you. But, you know, he's not the guy who shot Walter Scott, but he assaulted a teenage kid. And by the way, if your problem is people aren't keeping a safe distance, strangling them is a little hypocritical.
Like going up and pushing them in the face and then strangling one of them, like that's a good way to get fucking spit right in your eye. Like, I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah.
There was no call for it. It was a really unfortunate incident. I mean, those poor girls are all going to be fucking traumatized, right? I mean, I think, you know, the terms PTSD and trauma get tossed around, but we got a grown man pushing you down on the ground and then you see him strangle the shit out of your friend. You know, those girls are going to be traumatized. And the girl who was actually strangled,
she might have.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like she's, I mean, how do you not have nightmares about that sort of situation? I mean, someone strangling you and losing your breath. I mean, it is a scary fucking situation. I mean, I've been in enough bar fights where, you know, someone's had their arm around my neck and it's just like, okay, before I black out, I need this to stop.
Right.
So,
you know, when I was doing jiu-jitsu, the beauty of jiu-jitsu is you tap a guy on the arm and he stops.
Right.
Because it's under control. But even when it's under control, it's fucking scary. When you have someone taking your blood away from your brain.
Now, it's one thing because I'm a large guy, but when you're just a small girl and fighting back and all you can do is scratch and claw, but she was already laying down. Can't tell if she was injured or something like that.
Again,
but
I really would love to know what happened prior to that. Not that it changes anything I said, other than I'm curious as to how that came together.
But, the way he was pushing those girls around, I wouldn't be surprised if he pushed her. He had already pushed her once. Maybe she fought back a little bit, and so then he loses his shit even more, and then does that. I don't know.
Honestly, that's what I would bet on. Just because when the cameras come out, something happened prior to that.
Right.
No one's filming 100% of the time.
Right.
So,
some of these kids.
Well, there's that. But you're absolutely right. But in this particular case, it was the girls involved in the situation breaking out the camera saying, I'm documenting this shit. I mean, I was involved in a weird situation out in California a couple years ago, and two guys got into it, and I was trying to save the one guy from getting into too much trouble. And literally, as soon as it got mouthy between two men, I headed in, and the two women at the table had their cameras on me, and I'm thinking, I could end up in the news over this. I really don't want to. But it was actually kind of fun. All right. So, anyway, yeah, this guy's got to go to jail. I don't know. All right, this can probably piss you off, but I don't think it'll happen. I think he's probably doesn't have much of a criminal record, and he's going to plead to some, you know, disorderly conduct thing and end up getting, you know, community service and whatever. I hope not. He attacked a kid. I'm not defending the cocksucker.
I mean, it's on video of him physically choking someone. Right, so, right. I mean, like, well, that.
Look, I hope.
If I'm a prosecutor, I'm just like, why am I pleading this down? I mean, like, you would. I mean, like, I get it. He's a doctor and everything else. But, you know, you're probably right. Like, trust me, I've seen enough plea deals in my life to where I don't question that that is probably going to happen. But, I mean...
And they'll find a way to say that that's inadmissible, or they'll fight the admissibility of it.
Maybe. I don't know.
They will. Again, I'm not... I hope the guy goes to jail. I'm not saying he goes to jail for life. But he should spend enough time behind bars to say, I was very wrong. I'm being treated like a criminal because I am one. And...
I mean, even if it's still, I mean, 30 days.
Yeah, I think is reasonable. 30 to 60 days.
I mean, I would, you know, say maybe 180 days with 150 other days suspended and give him 30 days in jail. Think about what he did.
And put this on his record and make it a thing where if you do something like this again, you're going to go away for a while.
He's going to have to do anger management and all that other shit for a while. I mean, he's a doctor, so, I mean, medical board will take this very seriously.
I would hope so.
It'll be a while before he's able to practice again, if he is. So.
Then again, he's in Kentucky.
True that.
All right. We're right at an hour, and we do need to talk about the XFL. So I was actually getting into the XFL.
I liked it. I liked it as well.
And the quality of play was not great.
No. But it was fun. I mean, really, a lot of the quality of play really kind of hunkered around the quarterbacks just not being very good.
Right.
But I love football. I love it in all forms. You know, I mean, I watch high school football. I watch college. I watch professional. I'm an NFL fan. I jab people on Twitter because, I don't watch the NFL anymore because of Colin Kaepernick or because blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I hope every time they make $1 billion, your soul dies. I love the NFL.
You know, sorry, go ahead.
But, you know, I mean, this was a cheap knockoff version that I enjoyed. And, you know, I started watching it more kind of as it was going on, and then boom, it's taken away. You know, but they needed to make a certain amount of money to be able to continue to, you know, to meet their debt service, and they just couldn't do it with their season being wiped out. And I think with the new league, it's probably hard to get, you know, pandemic insurance.
True.
Although, speaking of pandemic insurance, you know the fucking All England Club? You know what those motherfuckers did?
No.
So listen to this. The All England Club, where Wimbledon is held every year. So they pull in about $300 million. Well, they were scheduled, they were projected to pull in about $300 million. $300 million from Wimbledon, which is a 2-week tennis tournament. Right. Okay.
That number does not shock me, by the way.
Well, it should, because that's a ridiculous amount of money for fucking tennis. But, I mean,
love tennis. It's a worldwide thing.
But it's the cost of the tickets.
Four big events a year.
Yes, I understand. But, I mean, just from Wimbledon, they were going to pull in $300 million. Now, that's, again, like I said, combined with TV deals, ticket sales, and all that other stuff. All right. So, fine. They, obviously, the pandemic happens, and they say, all right, we're not going to have it. So, what they did, going back, almost, I don't know, 15 years, after the first SARS pandemic hit, they took out basically pandemic insurance at the cost of $2 million a year.
Right? Wow, okay.
Okay, so it's 15 years. So for 15 years, the All England Club is paying $2 million a year for an insurance writer saying, oh, by the way, if something like a pandemic hits, then you are covered for X amount of dollars.
All right.
So
was this a Lloyd's of London thing? Do you know?
Do I know the insurance company?
Yeah, because Lloyd's of London always...
Lloyd's of London is literally the only company who could do this.
So, okay, what was that one?
Like, who the fuck else is going to do it?
I was curious.
Not Stephen Jim's Insurance.
No, I think we have missed our call.
Yeah. But I mean, we would be able to insure a toddler's power wheel.
We didn't insure Wimbledon. We'd have to go into defaults when this happened. Which, by the way, you want the 2008 housing market crash?
You shoot me, I shoot you.
I just described the 2008 housing crash.
But anyway,
so you're welcome.
So they're paying $2 million a year. So for 15 years, so they paid $30 million over the course. So this insurance policy will pay them $142 million. So they'll basically recoup almost half of the money that they will lose by not having an event. But I think that's just an example of foresight, learning from an experience, and then just how crazy rich and how much money the All England Club has, the place where the Wimbledon tournament is every year. I just thought that was, as someone who deals with insurance and shit like this on a literally a fucking daily basis with the properties that we have to get insured, I just thought it was crazy.
Well, it is, but I mean, I'm going to point to the Masters golf tournament, which I think has been postponed. Yeah, I don't think it's been canceled. I think they're happening. Talking about doing it in the fall. But the amount of money that revolves around Augusta, Georgia, for that 4 days,
oh, yeah.
I would bet it exceeds $300 million.
Oh, no, I doubt it. I mean, because it's only 4 days.
But there's so much money.
And you can't have nearly as many people, and they don't
But do you remember when the whole thing about, you know, they said women can't be members of Augusta, and a bunch of advertisers started to threaten to pull out unless they allowed women members at that golf club. Their response was, fine, we'll do it without advertisers.
No.
I mean, they just said, we don't give a fuck, we have so much money. But one thing I wanted to say about the XFL, because this is how I felt, it was kind of like watching minor league baseball in the sense that I was watching a sport I enjoyed.
And $115 million.
For the Masters?
For the Masters.
Okay, fine. Right,
so not even half of
what. Okay.
But, I mean, it's still, first
a
of all,
a lot of money. It's still
an absurd amount of money, right? I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm just saying, like,
it's less than 2 weeks worth of Wimbledon, okay.
Right.
And truthfully, the amount of the world that watches the Masters is less than Wimbledon because, but, all right, back to the XFL. When I watch minor league baseball, I just sit back and I enjoy the game for what it is. I don't really have a rooting interest. I just want to watch a game I love, and I can casually do it and enjoy it. And that's what the XFL was for me. Like, I'm watching football get played. Guy makes a dazzling catch or makes a great move or picks off a ball and takes it to the house. I'm having fun watching a guy play a sport, and I'm not getting angry or emotionally invested. So it's just plain fun. And that's what the XFL was giving us. And sad for them, they actually put out a product that was accomplishing that, and then this happened.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sucks for the XFL. I am different. I get emotionally involved to the best of my ability. Like, you remember that prank we pulled with the with the badminton thing,
yes,
in the bar?
I remember that.
A few months, or I don't know.
Okay,
a year ago.
I was fucking around.
No, well, I mean, I was too, but I kind of, like, I don't have a choice.
Right,
like,
we got to respin this because...
Well, no, we'll do it another time. But anyway, my whole thing is that when I'm watching a sport, like, I want to be rooting for someone. I want to have a rooting interest. So watching the XFL, I would pick a team and say, all right, this is my team in this game. Or this is who, like, whether it was, you know what, Landry Jones is playing for the, you know, DC Destroyers or whatever, then that's who I'm going to root for.
Sure.
But to your point, it was just fun, right? It's not the same emotional investment.
If the Steelers lose, you're pissed until at least Thursday.
Well, no, that's not true. I've gotten better over time, but it does ruin my day.
It does. Like,
Steelers losing ruins my day. Ohio State losing ruins my day. UMass losing used to ruin my day, especially when I played. Now it's such a regular thing that it's just very disappointing.
Right. But again, the point is, it ruins your day. It ruins a couple days for me. The XFL, you might go, damn it, Landry Jones, I really was cheering for you in this game and you let me down, but you're not, you're on to the next thing like that.
No, I'm not punching babies and punting kittens.
So. Steve is anti-baby punching, by the way. All right. Are you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We are at Steven, no, we're not, fucking A. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media, Twitter and Instagram, jim@whiskeycongress.com if you want to email me, steve@whiskeycongress if you want to email him. Bobby, thank you for your input, and thank you to everyone who's been listening. Please reach out to us. We enjoy it. We've gotten some really good feedback in the last couple weeks. So thanks again, and by the way, if it's on Twitter and it doesn't have my name on it, it's probably Steve, so just know that. I'm not wrong. All right, we're out. Thanks.